What I do know is where's value to be had. And exploration companies present value currently right now. And the gold price movement, M&A, going into the field season and better or more news from the space as we kick off the majority of the exploration season for the junior miners should create a positive environment.
Today's guest is a supporting sponsor of Liberty and Finance.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah K. Johnson with Liberty and Finance. And back with us today is our good friend and sponsor of the channel, Tony Retta from Tectonic Metals. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. We just heard from Tectonic Metals. Very exciting results from metallurgy on the Flat project. We'd like to get into the details on that. Before we do, if you could share with our viewers your perspective right now in the metals markets. It seems like we've seen quite a rally, but now we're seeing a bit of a pullback. What should investors be thinking right now?
Great question. Let me look into my crystal ball and see what I come up with. These are questions that are top of mind for myself as a CEO, but also as an investor. And I literally try not to get too involved in the minutiae. You know, instead of having a myopic view, I like to step back and look at the global picture and what is that telling me? And does that align with my sort of investment decision or investment themes, if you will? You know, gold had a tremendous rally. And now it's consolidating. And that's kind of normal. That happens with share prices and with gold prices or commodity prices. So I'm not too worried about the consolidation at play. The fundamentals for gold and a higher gold price are there. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So my perspective, what's also interesting, actually, is that we've seen a bit of M&A activity in the gold space. Newmont's bid for Newcrest. B2 Gold's bid for Sabina. This is good. This is good for the gold. The majors are waking up. They're seeing depressed gold prices. They're also taking advantage of stronger earnings with the higher gold price. And tier one deposits or quality gold deposits are rare. You know, every day of gold production that a miner completes is a day their reserves deplete. And they need to find new ounces, not just ounces, but economic ounces, high margin ounces. And those two acquisitions, you know, will definitely bolster their balance sheets and their earnings, in my opinion. And that's going to continue. That theme is going to continue more and more, which is why, you know, new discoveries, regardless of the commodity, are going to get the attention of the major mining companies.
Definitely. And when it comes to Tectonic in particular here, I'd like to dive into the new metallurgical testing from the Flat project. It seems like it's very favorable based on the press release that we'll put a link in the description here of the video. It seems like it's very favorable to gold extraction methods. Can you kind of share with us what the results are and were they better than expected, about the same? What would be your perspective on that?
I would say possibly better than expected. The results are exceptional. And from our perspective, you know, the Flat Gold Project, we've yet to drill this asset. And so part of our de-risking campaign is, you know, focus on things you can control. So we work directly on native-owned land. You know, that's one aspect. We form production agreements on our assets. That's number two. A third thing is metallurgy. Metallurgy can cripple a project. Derail it, make it uneconomic. So the quicker you can get those answers, the better. We're not here to flip projects or, you know, get our stock to double. We're here to find a mine. And so addressing these issues as early as possible de-risks it for all parties, shareholders, stakeholders, and management and the Tectonic team. So going into this program, you know, you have a sense of, you know, what the mineralization is like, but Mother Nature always surprises you. That's a constant theme in our space. And so, you know, we weren't certain that this was going to be a slam dunk, but we knew it was going to be a necessary step. So we were blessed with 55 historical drill holes that all hit gold mineralization. And thankfully, our native partner stored most of the drill core in a warehouse. So it wasn't necessarily rotting in the field. We went out and selected representative samples. And instead of just doing one type of metallurgical test, we wanted to understand the gold system as a whole. So we did several different types of gold extraction methods on the mineralization, which could potentially lead to different processing options. There's benefits to heap leaching. There's mills offer a certain sort of cost benefit. And then, you know, there's other types of deposits, such as refractory deposits, which are a bit more complicated, but with higher grade, they can be quite very profitable and economic. So understanding how do you get the gold out of the rock and what are the implications of that metallurgical technique from a cost perspective? So CapEx, how much does it cost to build that facility or to extract the gold? What are the operational costs? And what are the environmental costs associated with that extraction process? So this, you know, a lot of investors don't, I don't think, fully understand or appreciate metallurgical test results and what the implications are, but they are far reaching. And this is just one study that we did. So I want to make that very clear that, you know, when you get the feasibility stage, the amount of metallurgical work that is required to fulfill a feasibility study is like 10x of what we've done. So this is a baseline study, but it's more comprehensive because we evaluated conventional bottle roll, which is cyanide extraction. We looked at gravity. We looked at gravity and bottle roll. We looked at flotation. And then we played around with the different crush sizes of, you know, how fine you have to crush the mineralization to get the gold to come out. And so those results across the board came back very favorable, some better than others. Conventional bottle rolls just screaming with excellent results. And, you know, I do have a slide here that I can show you to highlight what we incurred. If you're viewing this slide here, this is our conventional bottle roll test. This is kind of like the standard first step. You can see here the leach kinetics and the grind size, but you can see it visually. I draw your attention to this. And every sample, so these are five composites that are taken from several different types of, several different drill holes across the board. And you can see here that all of them are responding very favorably in a quick amount of time. And not to get too technical here, but your cyanide consumption is extremely low. That is huge. That's a big plus. 95%, if you can achieve that at the end of the day in a mining scenario, you're top quartile of all gold deposits from a recovery perspective. And we took that those exceptional results, and then we did a coarser crush. So this is a 6 mesh versus the 75. And what it told us is that the crust, the mineralization is not grind sensitive. And we're again getting 94% recovery over a very quick period of time, low cyanide consumption as well. Just to add another layer here. So when you're operating a mine, so your OPEX, the biggest cost component is actually crushing the rock. And to get the gold out of the rock, sometimes you have to crush it really fine, which costs a lot more capital, very energy intensive. But if you can process it with less crushing or run of mine, your OPEX comes down. And in turn, typically your all-in sustaining costs is much more favorable. So a lot of people say, you know, grade is king. Yes, that's important. But ultimately, it's margin. What does it cost to produce an ounce of gold versus the price you're selling at? And if you look at, I'm going to go to one slide here to highlight the Fort Knox mine, which is in Alaska in the Tatina Gold Belt. It is a Kinross owned and operated mine. And what you can see here is that currently they're processing 0.3 grams per ton gold. And the way, why they can do that is because it is a run of mine. So you're digging up the rock, you're putting it on a heap leach pad. It's also open pit. And you're using heap leaching as a recovery tool or method to get the gold out. And this mine makes a serious amount of capital in one of the best sort of operations that Kinross has. This is what heap leaching can offer. Now, we have yet to do formal heap leach testing at flat. But what we did do is we took the material that we had and we did a coarser crush, which is that 6 mesh. And 6 mesh can be used as a proxy. So just to be clear, a proxy is an indication. It's not a slam dunk by any stretch. But what it told us is that heat bleaching definitely is warranted given these exceptional results that we were obtained from a 6 mesh crush size. Now, what's interesting to note as well is that your average open pit gold mine right now in the world, the average grade is 1.1 grams per ton approximately. Your average heat bleach operation is 0.65. So that the benefit of heat bleaching is lower grade material can be processed, and it also can typically be done with a less environmental impact, lower CapEx, and usually lower OpEx, which leads to better all-in sustaining costs. And these types of deposits are coveted in first world jurisdictions by the major mining companies because they don't happen too often. And everybody likes homegrown resources, and everybody likes low all-in sustaining costs. So this is a very, you know, very forward-looking, but in our case, I think that's warranted, and you have to look with the lens of, is this a mine, and then take the necessary steps on the metallurgical front, on the engineering front, and also on the obviously on the exploration front. And so this is great baseline work done ahead of our first year drill campaign. A lot of people say to me that it's shocking to hear you talk about a mining scenario when you haven't even drilled a project. And in some ways it kind of is, but hopefully the takeaway is that we're thinking long-term, we're thinking de-risking, and we're thinking, you know, how do we advance this project into becoming a mine? Finding gold is important, obviously, and needed and relevant. And yes, we intend to do that. But what is the economics? You know, if finding gold is great, but if it's uneconomic, what's the point? And so that's the mistake I think a lot of companies make, or junior mining companies, is that they're so focused on finding gold that they neglect the other side, which is the economics of it.
I think that's so key there is, yeah, like thinking about how much it's going to cost to actually get the gold extracted. You need to know that before you can even move forward in anything, it seems like. So I think the metallurgy is so important in this case. Now, you're talking about kind of the next step being the drill campaign. Is that correct, if I heard you right? And what is going to be the time frame on that?
So our goal is to drill flat this year. We don't have a board-approved program formally as of yet, so I can't say definitively, but that is the plan, and the intention is to go into the field and start drilling probably in June sometime, early June preferably, and execute a drill program that tests the breadth of the system, focuses in on the previously drilled high-grade gold and trying to understand what's controlling the high-grade gold, and then also test other targets that we think could be representative or of more economic opportunities at flat, and then also drill at depth, because we think there's a lot of opportunity there, and possibly the better prize of the system, if you will. The historical drilling, those 55 holes, the average drill depth was only 100 meters vertical. That's very shallow, especially when these systems can go as deep as a kilometer plus. So that's going to be the plan going forward, is, you know, figure out, demonstrate scale. And then as we drill and we, you know, if and when, and obviously I'm saying more when than if, when we hit gold, we're going to utilize that material to do more column testing, or to do column testing, period. And that is the definitive test to determine whether or not the mineralization is heat bleachable.
Now, when it comes to kind of, again, the expectations going into this metallurgical testing for the flat project, it sounds like this is very favorable, the results we got, because it really shows that this is a promising project going forward.
Yeah, well, we think so. It definitely, you know, I can sleep better at night. You know, this is not the be all end all. But I have been in scenarios where we've done metallurgy and it didn't meet our expectations. And, you know, if the sulfide mineralization, for example, was refractory, it takes the wind out of your sails, you know, and then it forces you to focus on oxide. And, you know, then how big is the oxide component? And what I do like about the mineralization at flat, the sulfide component, first of all, there's very little to no sulfur or sulfide in the system. That is a positive. the sulfide that we did find, which was less than 0.02%, and we did do metallurgical test work on there, it did come back positive. At least the gravity and bottle roll came back at 94.7% recovery. And that is a sort of a, that is a conventional way to process the gold. And on the coarser crush, it came back at 66%, which is still within reason for a heap leach operation. Now, most of the mineralization, you know, is it oxide and it's sulfur? You know, that is still a work in progress as well. But based on the work that we have done on those five composites, metallurgical composites, you know, four of them were oxide. And again, there's lower sulfur in the system. What's also interesting to note and worthy of noting is that when you do column testing, sometimes you actually get better results because the leach cycle, instead of being a 48-hour or instead of being 192-hour, those are the two that we did, you sometimes do 30, 60, 90, 120 days, and that's common. And that longer period can free the gold. So, you know, the results here are good, excellent, favorable. Stay tuned for the heap leach column results, which, you know, we hope to have probably by the end of the year, maybe Q1, because it is a lengthier process and we have to go collect material as well.
Now, I know last time we had, or I believe it was a couple times ago when we were doing a panel with Quentin Henning, we had him on from Crescat Capital because it was a big investment that Crescat Capital made into Tectonic Metals. And I think to kind of remind our viewers the importance of that, where you have big institutions like this and reputable institutions like Crescat, and also Rick Rule endorsing Tectonic Metals, you know, inviting you to the Rule Symposium last year. Can you speak to that? And also, I guess what we were discussing at the beginning of this interview, where there's this, you know, renewed interest in the gold sector, and that should also be good news for exploration companies like yourself.
I can't stress enough the importance of having quality shareholders. Shareholders typically are supporters, not always, but typically in our case, our shareholders are our biggest supporters. And that is reinforced by the fact that, you know, if you look at Crescat, for example, they have repeatedly financed us. And when I introduced this flat project to Quentin and Crescat, Kevin and Tavi, the portfolio managers there, they increased their share ownership in our company by 100%. So they quickly latched on to flat being an exceptional opportunity. And what's also comforting and makes my job a bit easier is that, you know, I can tell Elijah or whoever else that, you know, we got the best thing since sliced bread. But Quentin comes on, who's a respected geologist, and says, hey, you need to look at Tectonic. That has a different resonance. And also what's comforting, hopefully, to investors is that they've done their due diligence. So a lot of these investors or institutions, not all, but some of them get into the data room and they dig through the data. And that's advantageous to do that. And so they've done a lot of the heavy lifting on the technical side. And then, you know, Crescat, for example, is an interesting blend because they tick all the boxes, financial and technical, and they have this big macro view as well. So they've done their due diligence on all fronts, and hopefully that gives comfort to a retail investor that they don't have to do all that heavy lifting because someone else has done it. Rick Rule is another great example of that. And speaking of the Rick Rule Symposium, we're going to be there again this year. It was a fantastic conference last year, and definitely looking forward to attending, presenting, but also interacting with a lot of the attendees. A great conference. I encourage anyone to take the time to explore it further and possibly attend. And going back to the sort of the renewed exploration, you know, excitement, if you will, whether or not that's translated in the markets, you know, is TBD. I think it's there. But you do, with the M&A activity, the gold price coming up, we're seeing a favorable backdrop that is going to support exploration, which is one of the investment thesis of Crescat, which is why they've been very active investing in exploration companies, because they do expect there to be an uptick. And right now, we're still, if you recall last year, when we did our first Liberty Finance interview, which I think was in July, you know, it was very much a depressed state, but that presents value. And I'm a big fan Benjamin Graham and value investing. And I think that's where the real money can be made. Growth stocks, Apple, Tesla, so on and so forth, they've all corrected. They've had their run. Are they going to go up? Possibly. I don't know. But what I do look for and what I do know is where's value to be had. And exploration companies present value currently right now. And the gold price movement, M&A, going into the field season and better or more news from the space as we kick off the majority of the exploration season for the junior miners should create a positive environment. So it's always good to get ahead of that and then watch how things unfold as the year progresses.
Fantastic. Will be very interesting to continue to track this with you and to continue to look at your company. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today. If our viewers are interested in learning more about Tectonic, where can they find the company? And did you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, I really encourage people to reach out. I love interacting. This is a great platform to do that. We are active on LinkedIn and Facebook. I've had a Twitter account and I just started using it. I'm letting that cat out of the bag here. You can reach me or Tectonic on Twitter if that's the platform, YouTube here as well. But personally, Tony@TectonicMetals.com. And we do have info@TectonicMetals.com as well. Our website is www.TectonicMetals.com. We do have an investor relations person as well who's always keen and eager to talk to people. So reach out and thank you again for the opportunity and happy investing, everyone. I wish everyone the best of luck as 2023 unfolds and looking forward to seeing how gold does this year.
Fantastic, Tony. Once again, thank you so much for your time and God bless.
God bless. Thank you.